Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we have the day that we can set apart ourselves and to worship you, nothing but you. Father, we thank you from the bottom of our heart for all you have done for us and for all who you are. Today, we think about you, the ultimate father of all. Thank you that you have given us our biological fathers, and from them we think about you. We commit our heart to you, and just be with us today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Father's Day Sunday. I'd like to introduce a couple of quotes on fatherhood. Actually, the first quote is by the confession of a son. And he said, "He did not tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it." Another quote, "Being a great father is like shaving. And no matter how good you shave today, you have to do it again tomorrow." So this morning, let us look at Abraham, who is known as the father of faith. You know, why is he called a father of faith? I believe because he passed his faith in God to his next generations, not just to the immediate next generations, but all the way to our generation. One father's influence can change the landscape of many generations to come. And I believe, you know, we are fathers, many fathers in this room will do the same thing as Abraham did for your family. So would you please turn with me to Genesis 12. We are going to read verses 1 through 4 to begin with. Genesis 12. Verses 1 through 4. "And now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so you shall be called, you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." You know, there are at least three important milestones for Abraham's life. And these milestones apply to all of us, especially to the fathers in this room. I think the first milestone Abraham showed in his life is the getting out of idolatry, You know, we kind of know Abraham as a father of faith, but we sometimes forget about how he became a father of faith. Actually, there are 10 generations between Noah and Abraham, which was about 400 years. And during those 400 years, the world was plunged into all kinds of spiritual depravity, paganism, and sin. If you read the Genesis, right after Noah's the flood, in chapter 9 of Genesis, we see that the drunkenness of Noah himself, you know, he was playing an important role to save humanity, 8 people, including himself, and yet as soon as he landed, he committed a serious sin, a drunkenness. And chapter 10 of Genesis talks about descendant of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. So they begin to propagate, you know, all over the world. And Genesis 11, we see another tragic event, Babel Tower. Genesis 11:4, humanity says, "Let us make for ourselves a name." We can see how quickly humanity fell into sin, and as such, and God scattered them all over the world, and many languages were created because of that. So what God saw saddened him. You know, after Noah's generation, there was no revelation from God. God did not speak to a person, at least, you know, from the written record. There's no revelation from God at all. God was completely silent. You know, God's silence often means God is not pleased with humanity. And we can only imagine how dark the world was without God's revelation for 400 years. And let us think about Abraham's father, Terah himself. He was a pagan worshiper. He practiced, polytheism, say the least. Joshua 24 says this. Joshua said to all his people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." You know, we don't know what happened to Terah. He was a descendant of Noah and Shem. He had a godly heritage, but he ended up worshiping other gods. Bible doesn't say what happened, whether it was the generation of Terah himself or before that generation, the idolatry had come into the family. No matter what happened, we can see that one generation did not pass the baton of faith to his next generation, and the next generation lived in dark. You know, we see many of these examples in the Bible. Even if one generation, they had faith in God, but the next generation, immediately following that generation, did not serve the Lord. You know, Samuel was one of the great figures of the Bible, and he was actually the first prophet of Israel, and he served the Lord faithfully, but he failed to pass the baton of his faith to his sons. His sons were wicked. And Joshua was also a great leader of Israel after Moses' generation, but he did not find a leader who could succeed him, neither from his own sons nor from any others in the nation. And immediately Joshua died, Israel fell into pagan worship. And Terah had a great godly heritage, but he failed to pass that heritage to his next generation. So we have a lot of examples that many fathers in the Bible have failed to pass the baton to their generation, to the next generation. So in that sense, Abraham is an exception. He changed the trend. He did not receive any teachings about God, the true God of universe, from his father, and yet when God appeared to him, he was able to respond, the invitation of God. Let's look at Genesis 12, 1 to 3 once more. You know, now the Lord said to Abram, you know, we have to recognize that God has not spoken to anyone for 400 years. And all of a sudden, God found this man out of sheer grace. Abram didn't do anything that deserved this attention, but God all of a sudden decided to show up to Abraham, and he said, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you, make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So this is called the covenant of God with Abraham, or Abrahamic covenant. It is a rather surprising appearance of God. As I said, there had been 400 years of silence from God, and all of a sudden God appeared to Abraham, a son of pagan worshiper. And God chose Abraham and shared his vision with Abraham. There are at least six promises of God. First promise, I will make you a great nation. And second promise, I will bless you. And third promise, make your name great. And fourth promise, you shall be a blessing. And fifth promise, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And sixth promise, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. You know, if you think about this blessing, this is just overwhelming. This is not just a blessing only to Abraham, but all the families of the earth that will come will be blessed by him if Abraham were to take this promise. What would you do if you were Abraham? How would you respond if you were Abraham? Would you take these blessings right away? Because this is too good to be true. You know, there is no one in the world who does not like blessings, especially from God's blessings. And it was obviously very easy for Abraham to take these blessings and move on, right? So not quite. Not quite. Look at verse 1. Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. You know, this is the condition, right? If we find any condition, this is the condition of God's blessing for Abraham. You have to leave from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. It is one thing to hear such a great blessings from God, but it is another to leave the land to receive these blessings. You know, this blessing of God is all up to Abraham now, and he must leave the country he was so familiar with. And God did not even say where to go. God did not say a name or place. God only said he will show as Abraham is living. You know, if you don't know your destination of your journey, that is pretty tough. But that's the condition from God. I will show you where to go as soon as you leave. And how did Abraham respond? Look at verse 4. So Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And the Bible says he departed from Haran. I believe this is one of the most dramatic and significant move of all the figures from the Bible. He departed from Haran. You know, this is the beginning of a new history. This was a significant move. He was 75 years old, and he was yet to be a father. And this move of him is significant to all of us, especially the fathers. I think fathers need to make a decisive decision for his own family. And Abraham did, even before he was a father. You know, here we see that Abraham even took his nephew Lot. What does that mean? You know, why did Abraham take Lot with him? I believe it is because Abraham firmly believed that God will bless him, and as such, he would like to share his blessings with his nephew Lot. So we can see the glimpse of Abraham's faith here in God. He fully trusted that God will fulfill his promise to him. Let's think about Haran. You know, he departed from Haran. What does that mean? Haran was a place of establishment and comfort and prosperity. He settled there and well established for all his life. Perhaps all, you know, entire 75 years of his life, he lived there. And Haran was also a place of sin. Abraham did not want to continue to live in this place of sin. And he made a decisive choice to leave them all behind. You know, what is your Haran from which you must leave? I think Father's Day, one thing we need to do, just as Abraham did, was if there's any zone of compromise or sinfulness, we need to leave immediately, especially fathers. That's the first step to be a good father to your children. As long as you remain in your Haran, your children will suffer. As Terah stayed in Haran, his children suffered because it's a place of compromise and sin. And no matter how comfortable that place had been to Terah, you know, as long as he remained in that zone of compromise and sin, his children suffered. You know, had God not appeared to Abraham, Abraham would have lived as a pagan worshiper as well. But only by God's grace, God appeared to Abraham and called him out of that land, and he did. What influence are you impacting on your children? I think we need to constantly think about that. And Abraham's first move was he was getting out of idolatry. And Abraham made his first step of faith, leaving the negatives. And second milestone Abraham showed to us is he's exhibiting faith in God. He basically showed his faith in God. What does that mean? You know, since Abraham left, Abraham made his journey of faith. And now 24 years passed. He's now 99 years old. He was still childless. Ishmael came out, but Ishmael was not the child of God's promise. And Abraham made a few mistakes for the last 24 years, but by and large, he continued to have faith in God. Think about those 24 years. It is not a short time to keep the faith in God when he sees nothing from God. You know, when I went to China this time, I heard a person's mother was a Christian, but she's no longer come to church. And I asked her why that happened, and she said, because God didn't bless her mother, and her mother basically gave up her faith in God and left the church. You know, when you don't see God's blessing, we are easily swayed to abandon our faith. But Abraham did not abandon his faith for the last 24 years. And when Abraham turns to 100 years, God gave him a son, Isaac. And this was the son of promise from whom the nations will be blessed. and from whom all generations after generations will be blessed as well. So Isaac was the greatest fulfillment of Abrahamic covenant. You know, through this son, many you know, people will be blessed. So if you look at Genesis 22, let's turn to Genesis 22. We are going to see the real testing of faith from God. Genesis 22:1. And now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Let's look at verse 2. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. You know, each time God appeared to Abraham, there was always a surprise. And, you know, this is a big surprise. When you waited 100 years for something as precious as a child, you naturally want to protect the child as much as you can. And can you imagine how happy Abraham was watching his son Isaac grow? Can you also imagine how fulfilling Abraham was as he saw God's faithfulness to him? And God's faithfulness is basically Isaac. But Genesis 22 was a real surprise and a shock. God is asking Abraham to kill his precious son, from whom next generations are supposed to be blessed. Without this son, how would God bless the next generations and every family on the earth? Will God give him another son after Isaac? But Abraham was already 100 years old. So it didn't make sense at all to me. And I believe it didn't make sense at all to Abraham himself. But another surprise is Abraham's reaction. Abraham continued to exhibit his faith in God. He didn't complain. He didn't say a word against God when God asked him to give his son as a burnt offering. You know, burnt offering is to burn the sacrifice. And the sacrifice is Isaac. And this means Isaac will die for sure. But that was God's command to Abraham. And Isaac kept asking, what will be the sacrifice on the way to Mount Moriah as he was taking a journey with his own father? He was wondering, you know, what will be the sacrifice? Because Abraham did not bring any animal with him. Abraham simply answered him, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So Abraham got to the place in Mount Moriah, and Abraham was about to cut the throat of Isaac, as that was the way to sacrifice a burnt offering was supposed to be done. Cut the throat of animal, kill it, and burn it. So Abraham was about to do that. He lift up his hand with knife and about to cut the throat of Isaac. And there was no hesitation or compromise. He went all the way. And we know from the story, God was surprised and he stopped Abraham abruptly. Look at Genesis 22, verses 12 and 13. Genesis 22, verses 12 and 13. And he said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing for him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. So God commended Abraham's fear of him. Fear is another side of faith. And remember, Isaac was there with Abraham all along. He heard all the conversations between God and his father. You know, this was perhaps the most significant object lesson from a father to a son. The father exhibits his faith in God, and his son all along sees what's happening. You know, Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide," Jehovah Ireh. To Isaac, the faith in God is real, and he also experienced that God really provides. You know, if God did not provide, he knew he would not exist. But he exists, his life, he retained his life. That's evidence that God really provides, because God really provides a ram instead of him. And Abraham continued to exhibit his faith in God all through his life. But the real deal was Isaac. You know, Abraham passed his faith in God to Isaac, not by telling him what to do, but showing himself, this is the faith. And then the last point I'd like to make, passing the baton of faith to the next generations. That's what Abraham did. You know, this is not as easy as it sounds. You know, as the parents, you know that how it is not easy raising your children. You may want your children to be raised in a certain way, but it may not turn out that way. You may already have experienced some glimpse of that. You're going to see more as they get into teenagers and even adult age, young adult age. They may not turn out to be as you desire them to be. So passing the baton of faith to the next generations is not as easy as it sounds. But as we explored in the beginning, there are many biblical figures who had a great faith in God, and yet many of them failed to pass their baton of faith to their next generation. So this step is crucially important, passing the baton of faith to the next generations. You know, without succession, there is no success. And the real success of our own faith is to pass this baton of faith to our children's generation. Let's look at life of Isaac. What happened to him? You know, by knowing what happened to Isaac, we can tell whether Abraham succeeded in passing the baton to his next generation. As a young boy, Isaac obeyed his father. Isaac obeyed his father in the sacrifice. He was bound on the altar, and yet he did not scream nor disobey his father. There's no rebellion or disobedience to his own father. But the real test is when Abraham died, Isaac carried the legacy of faith in his own journey of faith. You know, Isaac is known as a peaceful man. He doesn't get engaged with any argument or any quarrels. He was a man of prayer, and he always had you know, peace of heart all his life. And he dug up many wells and blessed the land of famine. You know, digging up a well in Palestine even today cost more than $1 million. Even more so back then, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of manpower and you know, money and resources. And You know, when his jealous neighbors deprived of him the wealthy dog, he peacefully moved on to another place, dig up another well. You know, he kind of moved on, and he dug up 8 wells. That's a lot of, effort. And then that wealthy dog blessed other people who comes next. I think there's even wells that even Jacob dug in Palestine, in Samaria, as you know. But when jealous neighbors deprived him of the wells that he dug, he peacefully moved on to another place to dig another well. That was his life. And he did not argue nor fight. He just simply gave it up and moved on. And you know why? Because he trusted the Lord that God will provide. You know, the place he's supposed to be consumed as a sacrifice, Jehovah Yireh, God will provide. He was there with his father. So his father showed an object lesson for him. His father was going to really kill him, and he knew that. But he knew that God saved his life. God provided the true lamb in his place. So God provides was not a theory to Isaac, but the reality that he experienced himself. You know, when a treacherous famine hit the land in Gerar, where he stayed, Genesis 26:2, let's look at Genesis 26:2. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt and stay in the land of which I shall tell you." And verse 3, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham." You know what happened here? The big famine hit the land, and everyone was leaving the land to Egypt, because Egypt is the place of refuge. We see that in the next generation, Jacob, when the famine hit Palestine, Jacob has sent his sons to Egypt to look for food. So exactly similar famine happened in the generation of Isaac, and God appeared to Isaac and, "Don't leave for Egypt. Just stay here. I'll bless you. I'll multiply you. I'll renew my covenant with your father Abraham. I will make it happen for you." You know, it sounds as great as it sounds. You know, God's promise, right? But if you look around, you know, people are dying, and animals are dying because there's no food. There's a big drought and famine all over the places. And Isaac trusted God and did not leave the land. You know, what a suicidal decision. Can you do that when you see no food around? Will you stay here in Texas? Or, you know, look for some other places? Isaac made a suicidal decision. Just continue to trust the Lord. See what happens. Because he had this object lesson from his father at Mount Moriah. So Isaac decided to trust the Lord. And look at Genesis 26:12. This is what happened. Genesis 26, verse 12. "Now Isaac sowed in that land, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." This is an incredible story of trusting in God. You know, in the land of famine, he continued to sow, and then in that year, he reaped 100-fold. This is the way of God. God blessed him in that year, 100-fold of crop of blessing. Because Isaac trusted the Lord. If Isaac had gone, he would never experience this type of, you know, God's blessing. But he continued to trust in the Lord, and he saw God provides abundantly. You know, when God provides, he provides abundantly. Like his father, Isaac continued to believe in God and moved on. You know, Abraham's evaluation does not end at his own life alone. Isaac's life is the evidence of the faith of Abraham that was passed to his next generation. So your faith, you know, will not just end in your generation. And your faith in God will actually be proved in your children's generations. Do you know that? You know, however faithful you are, if your children would not believe in God, then your faith in God is not actually count, because it stopped right there. You know, passing the baton of faith to your next generation is the message of all fathers in the Father's Day. Especially fathers, you know, mothers as well, but especially fathers. The legacy of Terah was unfaithful legacy that failed to pass the baton, but Abraham broke the chain of unbelief and depravity and moved out of Haran. That was biggest move, moved out of Haran. And then he established his new legacy that stopped 400 years of sinful generations, and that began the, you know, generational blessing all the way to our generation through Jesus Christ, who was a descendant of Abraham. That's why a New Testament begins with the family history of Jesus Christ. And Abraham is introduced as, Jesus is introduced as a descendant of Abraham. And whoever believes in Jesus, we share the blessing of Abraham, which was established a long time ago. So I'd like to share three key you know, takeaways from today's lessons, especially to the fathers. The first, leave your Haran. Haran is a zone of compromise and sin. You know, maybe God is speaking to you this morning that, you know, you need to leave this zone of compromise and sin, whatever that is. Whatever Holy Spirit speak to you, let him speak to you, and then you hear. You need to leave that, you know, zone. And second takeaway, be the father who obeys the Father in heaven. And be the father who obeys the Father in heaven. You know, love Heavenly Father more than your children. You know, that's all you need to do in your life. Then your children will know God, and they will fear the Lord. No matter what happens, do not put your children above your Heavenly Father. That's exactly what Abraham exhibited. That's what exactly what Isaac exhibited in his life, and many, many the fathers of faith in the Bible. And last one, practice your faith in God before your children. Don't tell them what to do. You don't have to, actually. But practice yourself, and they will see what you're doing, and then they will emulate what you're doing in their life. If you read Bible, and Bible is the most important thing on your desk, they will see that. But if there's anything else, you know, cartoon books or, you know, some other movies are always, you know, on your desk, they know that, you know, that's more important for you than the Word of God, and they will be like you. So practice your faith in God before your, you know, children. If you love God, they will love God. If you cherish the Lord, they will cherish the Lord. This is exactly what Abraham did in his life. He didn't tell Isaac what to do, but he just simply exhibited his faith in God. And Isaac turned out to be the man of faith as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the ultimate Father who is in heaven, who approves and who loves and who cherishes us no matter what happened. Thank you that you showed up to Abraham to share your blessing with him and with us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, in this Father's Day, bless every father and every mother in this room, and every father-to-be, every mother-to-be in this room, so that we would love you. We would love you no matter what happens. We would cherish you as the sole object of our worship, the most important person in our life. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are such a great Father, compassionate, gracious, and merciful Father. And we cherish you, and we thank you for our own biological father who showed their face to us as well. And let us continue to be a father of faith to our own children. Bless this church, bless each family, bless each father, each mother, and each child. For your sake, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
There is love that came for us, humble to a sinner's cross. He broke my shame and sinfulness. He rose again, victorious. Faithfulness deny, through the storm and through the fire, where there is truth that sets me free, Jesus Christ who lives in me. You are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. When you are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. Beginning and no end, you're my all and my defense. I came to see can save the lost. You paid all upon the cross, and you are stronger, sin is broken. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. You are stronger, you are stronger, you are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you. Your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. Let your name be lifted. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. And you are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. And you are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are such a gracious and compassionate and merciful and loving Father. Thank you that your Son Jesus connect us to you. We have not known you, but through your Son Jesus, now we know you. We thank you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of our Father who is in heaven and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen. So today we are going to have a congregational meeting after a short fellowship, so don't leave. I'm going to share a mission report as well as our building project progress. Okay, it'll be short, but please stay. Thank you.